The reading is Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. I just want to offer my thanks as well just to everybody who's went out on New Life for the City. It's been great each week to see so many people going out. This Felicity as well. I want to say thank you to you and just how we've been able to mobilize as a church and go and bless the community and say hi to our neighbors. And through that, we are going to get the opportunity from the 5th to the 11th of August to go to some people's homes and to do some stuff practically for them. And also we got word the other day that the school want us to come in during that time, Central Integrated Primary School, to come in and do some projects there as well. So the workbook is filling up. So if you want to be part of that, I'd love to invite you to sign up online or at the welcome point and just say that you're up for doing something between the 5th and the 11th of August. There's quite a bit of painting in the whole thing and quite a bit of weeding. So if you think you could weed or you could paint, we'd love to hear from you. So thank you. But just listening to that this morning reminded me of the fact that God really has a call on the life of every believer. Often that calling leads us into places of stretching, experiences that are trials and difficulties. We can find them to be overwhelming, but the reason that God takes us on that journey and stretches us is because he's deeply committed to who we are and to our spiritual growth. He's deeply committed to seeing us being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. As human beings, we are profoundly formed by our lived experience. But the question sometimes is, how are we being formed by the things that we are experiencing? How are we viewing those and how are we letting them form us? Our passage today begins with the words, "As evening came." It had been a long day on the shore of Lake Galilee. Jesus had been teaching, and he finished off his day's teaching with a parable about a mustard seed. And he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he said the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but when it's planted, it grows and it becomes the biggest of all garden trees, unrecognizable from the tiny seed. And he was talking about that's how the kingdom of God grows in the world. And it's the same in our own lives. We begin with a seed of faith the moment we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And by the discipleship of the Holy Spirit through the ups and downs of life, the Lord grows that seed of faith into something that is strong. And he often does it through the most difficult parts of our journey. The Christian theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived around the time of the Second World War and actually died in a prisoner of war camp in Germany, said this. He said, "There's meaning in every journey that is unknown to the traveler." And what he's saying is that we can never be too sure just exactly what God is doing when we go through trials. We may think it's about this or that, but actually, if we get too certain about that, it begins to limit God's power, and we begin to box him in and make him small. And often God is up to much more than we could ever think or imagine. But his purpose is always good, and that's the thing that Scripture reminds us. He works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. The Christian life is no protection from tough times, but what it offers is strength and faith that comes to us from God to help us navigate those challenges that we face. the reality is that as we meet together here as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, many people are in the middle of a storm in their life. So how can a person avoid fear and allow their faith to be deepened and to be drawn closer to the Lord through the tough times that they experience? I want to suggest three ways to you through the passage that we're reading this morning. The first way that we can deepen our faith is by deepening our faith in God's guidance. The passage begins, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took the boat, they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed them. At the start of the passage, we'll pick up this interesting detail that it's actually Jesus who invites them to get into the boat and head out into the path of an oncoming storm. We know from verse 1 of chapter 4 that Jesus was already in the boat. That's where he did his teaching from the whole day. So he invites the disciples, "Come, get into the boat, and let's go across to the other side of the lake." I wonder if you ever felt that you followed God's leading into something, only to find quickly that it's completely overwhelming you. In January 2017, I was working for an audio events company in Belfast, and one day the owner of the company walked into the office where we were working, and he just said, "Could you close your laptops for a moment, please?" And then he said, "I'm sorry, but as of 20 minutes ago, this company no longer exists. It had went bankrupt, and it was a complete bombshell." And then within a few days of that, Jill and I found out that Jill was pregnant with our first child. And the day before that had happened, I had signed up to begin a course of training with the diocese to become a diocesan evangelist in the Church of Ireland. And I began to start applying for work, but I couldn't get anything going. I was getting rejected all over the place, which is pretty normal for me, to be honest, so don't worry about that. But it just felt very overwhelming at that time. And Nigel, in his kindness, actually came and asked me to take on a project at church to help me and to be able to allow the church to pay me to do something. And that was actually converting some of the rooms in the hall and leading a team of people who were painting and decorating to allow the Compassion Ministry to begin, which later became Harbour. Between work and study and doing the work in the church and trying to get ready for a baby arriving, I was losing it. I was in over my head. And I started to lose trust in God's guidance, because I felt really clearly that he had guided me into each of those things. And I couldn't understand, why is everything falling apart? Why am I, this shouldn't be like this. And then one day, out of the blue, it just hit me, and I realized God's top priority in my life was not to make me feel comfortable. God was committed to teaching me to trust his leading and to go deeper into his word and to hold on to the promises that I could find there and to become more aware of his love in my life. Jesus didn't say to the disciples that day, "Sure, let's get in the boat and we'll try to go across the lake and we'll maybe hit a storm in the middle and we might sink and we might drown." The destination was fixed. God had spoken to them and said, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." If you're a Christian today, remember that it is the Almighty God who is your guide. And his word says that he is worthy of your trust. Even when you hit hard times, have faith in his leading. So that's the first way. The second way we can deepen our faith through hard times is to deepen our faith in God's presence. The passage continues, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, Do you not care that we're going to drown? Fierce storms in life come upon us for all sorts of reasons. The liturgy we use at the first service, we confess our sins to God, saying that we have brought these things upon ourselves through weakness, through negligence, and through our own deliberate fault. That's part of why storms come upon us. But creation's not as it should be either, and sometimes storms fall upon us quite unexpectedly. The phone rings and a voice says, "The test results are in. I'm sorry, but you're going to need to come in. We'll need to discuss them." Or you hear those words or read them in a letter, "Regrettably, we are terminating your contract." Or maybe someone tells you, "I'm afraid there's actually nothing left that we can do for your loved one." Sometimes one of the hardest things is when there's no words at all, when it's silent, and relationships are breaking down. In a few short moments, you find you're in the middle of a storm, and the waves are too big, and your boat is beginning to fill with water. The disciples found themselves there, and they looked over, only to see Jesus asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. Jesus sleeping a deep, sound, peaceful sleep of faith. And he's in the very position in the boat where someone sits to steer. The disciples are, many of them, experienced fishermen. They know these waters. They've been through storms before. And yet this has made them completely rudderless, unable to steer, gripped by fear and panic. And that happens to us in the middle of these storms of life often. And so they do what we should do as Christians. They go to God. They go to wake Jesus up. And as they do, they call him only teacher. In their fear, they've forgotten, apparently, the miraculous deeds they have seen him do in the past. "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" Maybe we ask similar questions sometimes. "What are you doing, God? What's happening? Why is this happening? Do you not care?" At the root of those questions is a desire for knowledge. And that's understandable. We want to figure out what on earth is going on when we hit these hard times. And actually, that desire for knowledge is heightened in hard times. But actually, in a sense, what we want to know by asking those questions is that we want to know what God knows and what only he knows. And that desire goes back a long, long way. In the garden, the snake lied to the first man and woman, and he said this, "For God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." But God's reply to us in Scripture is, "No, your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways." And his call to us is to come into something much more profound. He calls us to have a faith that he's with us, to have a deep faith in his loving presence. The reality is that the one asleep in the back of the boat is God himself, the second person of the Trinity, the one through whom all of creation had been made. So I want to encourage you this morning, in your trials, never doubt that God is present with you. He didn't have to come to earth and enter into creation with all of its trouble and its trials and its storms, but he did it because he's committed to you and he's committed to me, and he loves us deeply with a love that we can't even imagine. If you're a believer this morning, God is right there with you by his Spirit, and his presence is enough to save you from whatever it is you're facing. And he promises never to leave you or forsake you. So have faith in God's presence. The third way we can allow trials to deepen our faith is by deepening our faith in God's power. The passage goes on. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, fully human. And in his humanity, he could become tired, just like we do. And so we saw him asleep in the back of the boat after a long day of ministry. But in his divinity, he also demonstrates his creative power over all of creation by silencing the storm with just three words: silence, be still. Within 2 years, Jesus would be in the middle of another life-threatening storm, but this time it's a storm of words as the crowds gather around him and shout, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." That storm could have been silenced by Jesus with just one word, but he stood there completely silent. And he stood before Pontius Pilate, and he was tried unjustly and wrongly accused, and he said nothing. God's ultimate power is displayed in weakness. As Jesus lays down his life voluntarily, he said himself, "No one takes my life away from me. I lay it down of my own free will." To defeat my enemy and your enemy, sin and death, Jesus willingly sailed straight into the middle of a fatal storm. On the cross, he allowed his vessel to be swamped, to be smashed to pieces, and to be taken down to the depths of darkness. And as he went down, he took everything that we have ever done wrong, the mistakes that each of us make all the time, and he cast it into the heart of the sea. And when God's power raised Jesus to new life 3 days later, all our sin was consumed in the abyss to be remembered no more. I remember growing up, and there were always like floating this rumor that they were going to try and raise the Titanic, and they would kind of be attaching all sorts of things to it and balloons and everything. It never worked. And that's the picture I got in the first service of our sin. There's nothing, there's no power that can raise that and cast it up to us again. The Lord has dealt with it. It is in the heart of the sea, and none of us ever need to live underneath that sin and condemnation ever again. He set us free from it. And that means for each of us that even if the worst things happen in life, when we suffer as people who are looking towards a brighter shore on the far side, and that's where we're going. It's called the Promised Land, and the reality of Scripture is that it'll actually be a new heaven and a new earth. And in that place, there will be no more tears, and no more death, and no more suffering. And as we look back on this life, it'll appear to be a very temporary thing in comparison. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says this: "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Maybe God, by his Spirit, is asking you the same question this morning that he asked the disciples in the great calm that followed the storm. Why are you afraid? And it's not to condemn you. It's just to say, do not be afraid. By walking life's journey with Jesus, putting your faith in God to lead you in line with his word, by having a deep faith that although you may not have all the answers, God is right beside you. He's present with you in the storm, even if it feels like he's sleeping. By having a deep faith that he's with you and he's in control. And by having a deep faith in his great power and love displayed on the cross to give everyone who would receive it the free gift of eternal life. God will create deep faith in you. He will do the work. All you've got to do is open up and let him lead you. Make his presence real to you. And to be reminded of his power. And in that, your faith will be like the mustard seed. And it will grow big and strong beyond all recognition. And you'll shine for him in this world. You can have a faith like Paul. Like a faith that had taken hold of Paul. And he wrote of all the things he went through. Beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, dishonor, slander, praise. We're treated as impostors and yet we are true. As unknown yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing yet possessing everything. That's the gift that the Lord wants to give you today. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let's pray. Lord, our answer to that question is that this person who the wind and the waves obey is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Son of God. He is God. He is Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that today, by your Spirit, you are with us. And that as your family gathered here, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are guiding us, you're leading us, you're present with us, and your power is making all things new. Lord, I pray for anybody here that is facing trials this morning or is in a storm. Lord, would you make these things real this morning to bring comfort, to bring peace, and to bring deep faith. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.